Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to look and continue as we're walking through the book of Ephesians. Now, we've gotten through, looked at chapter 4. In chapter 4, he begins with our walk in the Lord. We started out looking in the first three chapters, and please pardon my repetition on these things, but just to reiterate, the first three chapters deal with our wealth in Christ and what we have in Him. If we understand what we have in Christ, boy, it'll help us in our walk with Him. And the great story picture of the homeless guy that didn't ever realize or know that he was an heir to the throne. He was left $3.5 million, never knew it, died. They buried him, didn't have a name or anything. And that's kind of how a lot of Christians are, right? I mean, I have all this wealth in Christ. I have all this wealth and this freedom and this liberty and these tools and all of this, and I never use it or implement it, never knew about it. Now, with our walk in Christ, chapter 4 we looked at, and all that that's brought out, and some instructions given to us, we got all the way down. Now, chapter number 5, if you will, as we continue in this, notice what he says there in verse 1. But he says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." Now, again, he's not talking to kids. You know this. He's talking to us as having a faith like a child. That very sincere, very, very loving type of faith. We're going to look at that in a minute. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. And given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Now, those are references to the Old Testament. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient. We'll look at some of the definitions of those. But rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were, notice, sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now, we'll pause there in our reading, and notice in your notes here, again, I put chapters 4 through 6 give us practical application for the Christian life. They're about our walk in Christ. Our walk, again, as we said last week, refers to our manner of living, our conduct, and our behavior. Now, additional instructions are given in the passage before us here. So, first of all, notice some additional instructions. One, we're to walk in love. Now, that's very clear to us. This word love here is agape, which is an unselfish love, a devotion, and a care for others. It is the love that gives sacrificially instead of taking for selfish pleasure. Now, there's several words used in the Bible for love. You know that. Phileo means that brotherly love, where we get the word Philadelphia, city of brotherly love. It's that companionship, brotherly love. But there's a deeper love and a more practical love that we read here, and that is the agape love. Okay, so letter A under that, notice we are to follow Christ's example. It's very clear to us. Notice 1 Peter 2:21 if you have that. 1 Peter 2:21, very interesting how Peter writes this. Now remember Peter and who he is, what he went through with Christ, the challenges he had. But notice what he says here, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." Notice, "who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously." Now, if you go on and read that entire chapter, it's a really good chapter. But Christ is the example set for us. Now, when he was reviled, he reviled. Now, that's not them say, "Oh, you dummy ding-dong, you stupid head," pardon my language. They were using foul, filthy language towards Jesus. Okay, I mean, you've ever been called a dirty name or something? I mean, somebody gets up in your face. So when reviled, he didn't revile again. When he was spit on, didn't retaliate, etc., etc. Now again, just showing this example that Christ sets for us. Again, notice that the Lord instructs us to love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Notice that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Now right there is identification. That's what you should write in there. Who do I identify with? I need to be identified with somebody. And he says that you may be the children. "For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and the good, sendeth rain in the just and unjust." Now this is possible. Why? Because according to Romans 5, notice, "because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us." I can't do that on my own. In fact, not only can I not, I don't want to. I just don't want to. You don't like me. I don't like you. You call me a dirty name. I don't care. I just don't want to deal with that. What happened? Holy Spirit indwells us. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can do what He's called me to do. Now, the question is, are you walking in the Holy Ghost? Is He filling you? Is He guiding you? Is He helping you? So how do we walk in love? First, Christ's example. Letter B, though, notice, we are to behave in a manner worthy of who we are in Christ. Notice again, verse 3. But fornication, all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once, underline that word, named among you as become a saint. Now, have all of us committed these things? Absolutely. You know, there may be some in here that have committed more sin, or I shouldn't say more sin, I should say more severe sin than other people, but we're all sinners. Now, notice what he says here. The first one, he says, abstain from fornication, uncleanness, and covetousness. Now, the word fornication is the Greek word porneia, from which we get our word porno or pornos. I don't need to go into detail with that. So it means an illicit sexual intercourse. I'll be careful. We do have some younger folks here. But it's adultery, homosexuality, lesbianism, other things, incest. It refers to the defilement of idolatry also brought on by eating the sacrifice offered to idols. So this is some of the meanings of this word. Okay, and again, if you're married and you step out on your spouse and mess around with another person, that's adultery. If you mess around prior to marriage, that's fornication. We have to be careful. And we're going to look at some of this here in a minute. So this is behavior that is contrary to Christ and contrary to what he says as walk in love. The world today, by the way, equates fornication, porneia, with love, don't they? Every movie and every song you listen to. Oh, I was in love with a girl. What are they saying? They're talking about the physical act. That's not the definition of love, is it? Bible definition of love is vastly different. Now, we're going to see that. It's that agape love. It's that phileo love, whatever you want to say. However it's used in whatever context. So, letter B under that, notice the word uncleanness. Now, that's lustful, luxurious, carnal living, and impure motives. So the word unclean, some people think of it as being physically unclean. That's not what it means. It has to do with this in sexual nature, and you know that. You've heard the old adage, cleanliness is next to godliness. That's not biblical, okay? You won't find that in the Bible necessarily. There's things that kind of allude to something like that, but it doesn't. It's not biblical. But what he says when it's unclean is lustful, carnal living, okay? Unclean living. Now, I don't need to go into detail, but somebody who lives in a lustful manner, going from person to person to person, it's unclean, right? It's unclean. We know that. A lot of things happen because of that. Covetousness, it's that greedy desire to have more. Again, why would he add covetousness with this? We know that kind of lifestyle is covetous. I want more. I'm not satisfied with one. I want more. I'm not satisfied with her. I want somebody else every other weekend. Isn't that true? That's how the world lives. It's that, and that's how they hook people on this stuff. Porneia. That's how they hook them on it. It's a variety, right? Variety is a spice of life, and that's what we see. Now, again, men understand that very well. We'll see that. Now, this is always around, but is particularly dangerous when there is prosperity. It is that eagerness to acquire and selfishness which presently so pervades our American society. It's true. When there's prosperity, too much time on our hands. It's true. When you don't have, God created all of us to be busy, to work. People say that's a dirty four-letter word, work, right? No, God created us to work. And the busy, keep your mind busy, keep your hands busy. When you have prosperity in a nation, sometimes this stuff seeps in. And again, we see that in America. What we did to those poor Native Americans, you know maybe the story, the Trail of Tears. Have you heard? You read on that story. We took all these Native Americans from back east, and we forced them to walk all the way out to Oklahoma. Hundreds, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of them died along the journey. We didn't take care of them. We didn't feed them. When the winter came, we just kept making them walk. I say we, but you understand. We put them out on the reservation and said what? Hey, listen now, we feel so bad. I'm so sorry we did that. Now, here's what we're going to do. You don't have to pay any taxes. We're going to build you a house, and you don't have to do any work. We'll provide. We'll give you a monthly check. Don't worry. What has that done for them? Nothing, right? The percentage of the Native Americans that are alcoholics and drug addicts is so high. Why? Because of that. We didn't do them a service. We did them a disservice. Now, I say that because the prosperity sometimes will bring about these things, and I want to encourage you to stay busy for the Lord. Not too busy. We know there's a fine balance, but busy. Okay, there's an abstaining from these immoral sins. Notice number two, though, an abstaining from filthiness, foolish talking, and jesting. Now, filthiness, what he refers to here is obscenity. Now, if you want to be a world-famous comic or comedian, the top paid comedians today, have you listened to them? I hope you don't. They're filthy, aren't they? You can't be a clean comedian. There's a couple of people that are kind of clean, and they're pretty funny, you know. But if you want to go up and get your own special on HBO or whatever you get, you have to be filthy, don't you? The comedians are foul-mouthed. They talk about all kinds of nasty sexual stuff. Why is it? It's an obscenity that sometimes attracts people, foolish talking, jesting, or that low jesting, which is indecent, obscene, lewd, dirty, offensive. Pleasantry, good humor, clean fun, merriment are in order. But notice, this is referring to bad sense, which is abusive. Now, jesting has to do with the joking and stuff. And there's time for joking. There's time for laughing. James says, hey, let your laughter be turned into mourning. What's he saying? Get serious about some things. I think our society today is so full of just, it's unnecessary laughter. I mean, it's just nonsense. The jesting, you remember the court jester? When the king back in the Middle Ages, the jester was the guy who looked like a joker. He had those things with the bells on it, that hat, funny hat. He'd come in and he'd do tricks for the king. He could juggle stuff. He had knives and swords that he could juggle. Have you seen the guy that juggles the chainsaws? I think that guy's real good. Man, he made a few mistakes, and so he's like, no, like the shop teacher. Remember shop teacher? I've got three rules. He's missing a few fingers. But he'd come in, he'd juggle, and he'd stand on his head. He'd do these flips, and all the people in the banquet that were having a big party, yay, oh, yay. That's the jester. And he says here this word jesting has to do with unnecessary laughter. He says abstain from something. Doesn't mean to be a stick in the mud. You know, we know have enough Christians like that today, you know, real serious and pious and all these things. And we need to have a balance with it. So he's saying that obscenity, foolish talking, and indecent, obscene behavior, yet have nothing to do with it. That word abstain. So thirdly, it leads to us in 1 Thessalonians 5:22. He says abstain from all appearance of evil. And again, we're given specific instructions on how to do this. Romans 13:14, it says here, I have in your notes, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You don't make provision for it. The lust comes knocking at your door, which it does almost daily. What do? We crack the door open, go, yeah? Hey, can I come in? Sorry, there's no room. Whereas some people say, well, I did set a placemat and plate. There is meat and potatoes, and I've got everything set for you. Okay, come on in. The placemat's already there. You might as well come in. What's he saying? You don't even set that for him. There's no provision for him. There's no room. I'm sorry. If you have on the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't have room for the lust thereof. It doesn't work that way. If you remove something, I would encourage you to replace it. We've talked about that before, but you put on the Lord Jesus Christ, that means you got to take something off, right? You don't put on three coats. I don't go home. I said this last week, pardon the silly illustration, but I don't go home and put my pajamas over this stuff. No way, man. This is itchy and no way. You have to understand, he says, you're going to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're removing the flesh, okay. There's no place for it if you have trouble in certain areas. I just want to encourage you with this. Don't maybe look for trigger warnings. You come home after a long day, plop down on the lazy boy, and you get your phone out. Maybe you want to put that aside, replace it with something else. Put your ear pods in or your earphones and listen to Scripture. Or get your memory cards out. I want to encourage you. Get memory cards of verses and start memorizing them. I know it's monotonous and it's hard to do and it's boring. It'll help you tremendously. Get on that. If you replace or remove something in your life, you need to replace it with something that's healthy and holy. Okay, notice verse number four then. Realize that no one who practices these things is saved. Okay, notice verse five, and I'm going to clarify a few things because people get real nervous about this part. For this you know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Okay, now, he's talking about somebody who's involved with it in a habitual, consistent basis. Because people say, oh, I've done that. I've committed all of that. I'm not saved, am I? No, that's not what he says. We have to remember the context. What we've learned before is that when we isolate a verse and pull it out and put it up on the screen, we have to be careful. That's not all the verse says. We have to keep it in context because that will help us. False doctrine and heresy comes when we isolate verses. We have to be careful. So in the context, he's talking about this. Now, what I think about is this. Paul writing this, do you think Paul committed some of these things? Absolutely. He wrote. So is he saying, I'm not inheriting the kingdom of God? No, we know that. So if you're involved with this with no conviction, no repentance, it's a habitual thing, you're always doing it, there's a good likelihood that you're not saved. But if you do commit one of these things and you have a tremendous amount of guilt and conviction and there is true repentance, okay, that's evidence of the Holy Spirit. You know that. Okay, so let's keep going now. He mentions a few things here. Again, a whoremonger. I'll be careful. It comes from the same root word, but this word here is pornos. It's a practitioner or practicer of the word porneia. And that's what it is. Again, just clarification, a whoremonger. A monger, we say the word fear-mongering. You're causing people to fear. You're stirring people up. Oh, everything's going to fall apart. We're all going to die. That's a fear-monger. Whoremonger would be you're making young girls into whores. Okay, that's what it means. So you have to be careful. That's the male side of it, is a whoremonger. And we have, by the way, the men, I'll say this, they get away with a lot more than women. If a woman is involved with some of that stuff, the woman, she played the harlot. I can't believe it. What about the man, right? He can run around and do whatever he wants to do, be with all these people. He never gets into trouble usually. I'm talking about in a worldly sense. Okay, this is a fornicator. This is literally the definition. A man who prostitutes his body to others, another's lust for hire, a male prostitute, a man who indulges in unlawful sexual intercourse. Okay. Now, some people say, why would you even bring that stuff up, Brother Tim? Why do we even walk through that? Because Paul points it out. And isn't it amazing? We say this often, but this book is timeless. Timeless. Meaning, I can apply it in 2025, and my great-grandfather could apply this same book in 1925. Isn't that amazing? That's what he said. It's timeless. It's no new thing. There's no new thing under the sun. We've dealt with this porneia since the beginning of time, just in different ways. We have it a lot easier today where you can just literally, in a few buttons or whatever, you can have that. It's always been around. So he says this, again, the second one, unclean person, that's foul, it's not cleansed, it's unclean in thought and life. Just a reference verse here of Genesis 6:5, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every imagination, there it is, notice, of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, what happened because of that? Was there judgment? Absolutely. Was there a destroying of the world? Absolutely. What do you think's going to happen? Did God fall asleep? No. That's going to happen again. We've gotten to a point where the iniquity has filled the cup. That's the old saying. Iniquity has gotten all the way up and filled the cup, and now it's overflowing. Now God has to do something about it, and he's a patient, loving, gracious God, and that's why he's waiting, allowing more people to receive the gospel. But it's going to come to an end real soon. A covetous man there, letter C under there, is a man who is an idolater. This is one who is eager to have more, especially what belongs to others. This is a form of idolatry because a covetous man is a worshiper of mammon. We don't have to turn to Matthew 6:24, but what's he say? Hey, listen, you can't serve both. Okay, you can't have both. Either you will love the one, hate the other. You'll serve the one, despise the other. You can't serve both, mammon being materialism and money. A person who's characterized by these or practices these actions are not saved, is not saved, really can't be saved. He has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. This is the third time the Lord informs us of this. The other two are 1 Corinthians 6:9-11 and Galatians 5:19-21. And again, referencing, ye shall know them by their fruit. And that's true. You shall know them by their fruit. So we are saved. We who are saved are warned against this in verse 7. Notice verse 7. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. You should have nothing to do with them. I know you got to work around people and such. and you don't be holier than thou or pompous or arrogant or mean-spirited with these people, but you don't partake with them. You don't partake in their actions. You know that. Okay. Now, we do commit individual acts of sin and sometimes do. Notice real quick here, 1 John 1:8. 1 John 1:8 here is interesting. And 9, he says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So some people say, well, I have never sinned. Well, you're a liar, he says, because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But if we do sin, if you will, jump over to chapter 3, verse 8, he says something interesting. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. Well, that's us. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Now, will we sin? Yes. But notice what he's saying. We will sin. There is confession. There is forgiveness. And knowing this, we are God's children. We are striving daily to not commit sin. Okay, flip it over here. Let's get through this part. We won't take long here. But we cannot lose our salvation, but we can lose our testimony, our effectiveness, and our fellowship with God. Again, 1 John 1, verse 6, he says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie, do not the truth. If we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Okay, so we should walk in love. Number two, though, notice this one, we walk as children of light. He says in verse 8 again, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. We're commanded and warned not to walk in darkness. For John 12:46 says, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Notice 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 4. But you know that light is always revealing, right? And that's what he says. Men do things in the dark because they're trying to hide something. Notice this, yeah, but ye brethren are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but watch and be sober. So again, we are in the daytime. Now, letter A, remember that what we were and what we now are. That's what he says. You were darkness. Have you ever wondered why a lot of people are scared of the dark? Several shows and stuff back in the 90s, remember Afraid of the Dark and other things like that. Real weird stuff. How many were scared when you used to watch Unsolved Mysteries? Remember that show? Do, 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 do. You're going, other stuff like that. Some scary stuff you can watch. But it's always darkness, isn't it? Why didn't Jason come out in the daytime? I mean, why isn't he running around the streets killing people? It's always in the night, right? And you know that. Darkness is always associated with evil. Now, darkness in itself is, you know, that is nothing wrong with it, but evil has always associated itself with darkness. Now, you know those things. So he says, come out of that. We were darkness. There was no light in us, and we loved the darkness. John 3, verse 19, if you have that real quick. John 3:19, he says, we used to love the darkness, in fact, and abide in the darkness. Yeah, notice this is the condemnation. The light is coming into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. So there's the condemnation. Someone says, and I've heard this before, oh, I've sinned too much. God could never forgive me. No, that's not what keeps you out of heaven. What keeps you out of heaven is your unbelief. You refuse to believe. If you were to believe, no sin is too big. Now, we are light in the Lord, 1 Peter 2:9. You're a chosen generation, royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. That doesn't mean weird, that means different, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness, notice, into his marvelous light. When you walk in the light, oh, it's marvelous. There's joy, there's peace, there's happiness, there's fulfillment. That's the kind of light that he offers to us. Number three, we can now show forth the fruit of the Spirit. Verse number 9, once again, he says, for the fruit of the Spirit, this is a parenthetical statement, is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. See, the fruit of the Spirit is not in darkness. There's not a little piece of fruit that could be, you know, there's a little evil and wickedness and selfishness, covetousness, and you could produce some fruit. No, he says all fruit, spiritual fruit, is what? In truth, in truth. Now, Galatians 5:22 talks about the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, and what that is. Letter B, test things. So first, remember what we were, but also test things to see if they are acceptable to Christ. He says in verse 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Now, just again, just a statement here. In order to prove something, that means measure it up to the standard. To prove, you have to have a standard by which you operate. We'll prove it. Well, I don't have anything to prove it with or by. The wonderful thing about the Bible is we have a book that's, as I said, timeless, but it's true, it's inspired, it's accurate. You don't have to worry. Well, wonder if we have the right Bible. You can trust this Bible. And if you don't understand or know it, come join us in our Bible Institute and you can learn more. But you see this. He says now, we can prove testing things that are acceptable. One, examine carefully each course you choose for your life. Romans 12:2, he says, and be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Notice here it again, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. If you study that, it's very fascinating. Not only is the will of God good, but it's acceptable. Now, he's not talking about acceptable to you, because the will of God isn't acceptable to you. It's often hard. It's difficult. You got to give up things. You got to sell some stuff and go move somewhere. It's not, who's it acceptable to? Him. See, he accepts that. He says, well done, thou good and faithful. I'm pleased with you, Tim. I'm pleased with what you're doing. So we know that. And it's also not good, only good, acceptable. It's perfect. It's complete will of God. So you're proving the will of God in that. John 8:12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have light, the light of life. Darkness. People walk around today in darkness, not physical darkness, but just dark. They don't know the truth. They don't have the truth. A lot of people just don't know where they're going and what's happening. If you ask the average person on the street, what do you think happens when you die? What's the number one answer? They say, I don't know. I guess we just die. What is that? That's darkness. That's darkness. So we should test things. Examine carefully each course you choose for your life. Number two, approve that which is excellent. Now, excellent is above average. It's above par, if you want to say. It's up here. Here's middle and here's poor. And the Lord says you ought to seek after that which is excellent. Peter writes about this. Paul writes about it in Philippians 1, verse 9. Notice what he says. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere without offense until the day of Christ. He goes on to say in, again, chapter 5, verse 21 of 1 Thessalonians, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. So how do I prove things? Is this right, Lord? Is this what you want me to do? How do I come back to the book? Here's the standard. Again, I say it often, all the time. Here's the measuring tape right here. I don't have to guess at what's 2 feet. Okay, what's 25 feet here? Maybe over there to the door. I don't know. No, I get out the tape measure, and you get out your tape measure, and we all have the same type of tape measure, hopefully. So you think about now, we have it. We approve that which is excellent. Okay, that's what God wants me to do. I got it. Testing it against Scripture. Letter C, refuse to fellowship with the works of darkness. Now, by the way, this isn't just friendships. This is what the kids watch. This is what the teenagers will watch and look at. This is what I look at and watch. I found a video the other day, had nothing to do with what they brought up. It was a video about building something, and sure enough, in the middle of the video, some commercial comes on. I can't stand YouTube sometimes because they have those stinking commercials. Some weird thing. I'm going, come on, man. You got to show that right in the middle. Now, think about this. We should refuse to fellowship with the works of darkness. I don't want nothing to do with it. People say, well, you're kind of stuck up over there at that church. No, we're not. You're kind of holier than thou. No, we're not. We're friendly, nice. We want to reach people with the gospel. We're not going to come partake of your evil deeds. He says in verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Rather, reprove them. Now, unfruitful, that means they're not producing fruit. A lot of people talk, I do this all the time. I talk a lot about Jesus. I preach about Jesus Sunday, Wednesday, all these things. Where's the fruit? Right, where's the fruit? Where's it at? You're unfruitful. Where's the fruit? So think about now, we are to not talk about those things. That's what he says. Again, when you talk, you associate yourself with, if you will. You associate yourself with people and other things. Talk about them. Bring them up. By the way, you know what people are involved with, what they like, by what they talk about, right? They talk about all these kinds of things. Cars. They talk about maybe construction. They talk about maybe engineering or architecture or whatever it is. You know they like that kind of stuff. What do we talk? Number two, we are not to be entertained by them, and you know that. Romans 1:32, knowing the judgment of God, they commit such things are worthy of death. not only do the same, notice this, have pleasure in them that do them. If we fellowship with or participate in these works, we lose our sensitivity to goodness, righteousness, and truth. And that's true, isn't it? We lose our sensitivity. We become just seared, as he puts it in one portion, our conscience. Letter D, reprove the works of darkness. Now, reproving carries with it this idea, and I didn't put this in your notes, but reprove literally means to correct, to express disapproval, to confront sin, but also to teach and guide to God's will. Correct it, but also teach them God's will. Isn't that good? We don't just correct it. Too many of us maybe in here have been corrected about something, but never the backup to it is, hey, but we love you, we want to encourage you, and we want to help you grow in the Lord. It was always just this reproof. That's not the full definition of it. What he says is reprove those works of darkness, okay? He says, Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men. They may see your good works. Glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Now, by the way, not everyone's going to glorify the Father, not going to be real happy that you're letting your light shine. 1 Peter 2:11, he says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. You're pilgrims, you're just passing through. Abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak evil against you as evildoers, they may by, notice, your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. There's a book that an author, Bunyan, wrote many, many years ago called Holy War. Have you ever read that book? It's a good book. And he talks about that. This guy gets involved in the world. As he's making his journey, he gets involved somewhat of the world. It's very similar to that of Pilgrim's Progress. But he gets involved with the world, takes a wrong turn, and all these things that go on. And I thought about that. He says, as pilgrims and strangers now, abstain from that. You're not here. You're not here to stick around. Okay, keep going. You live at a higher level. Okay, then lastly here, notice this. He says, awake from sleep and receive more light. I like that. He talks, let me see if we want to keep going. Yeah, let's read verse 13. All things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. There it again. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. By the way, you stand in front of the light, you have nothing to hide. If you have a bunch of stuff to hide, right? I don't want to. If you have, the closer you get to the light, more blemishes you see is the old adage. If I have nothing to hide, I'm gladly to stand in the light. I want to. Then he says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead and Christ shall give thee light. Now he's referring to the Old Testament. Isaiah 26 talks about this. And this is what Paul is saying. He says, remember back to what Isaiah said, awake thou that sleepest. Now this carries with it the sobriety, being sober, the vigilance, to be vigilant. And then he says next in this last verse, and we'll be done, he says, see then, if you're awake, if you're from the dead, if you walk in the light, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. We'll get to that next week because that's some good stuff there. But the circumspect we should walk with, that's a 360-degree view of your life. I don't know what's going on behind me right now, but I hope nothing. Okay, I said before, I preached at a church a couple of weeks ago, and I was laughing with them, but I said this. I said one of our themes for the year, you folks know this, was a rise and build. Remember that? And we had a rise and build on the back wall, and I said, we need to rise and build, yeah! And the word arise fell off the wall. Remember that? It was held on with like a sticky thing, and it just fell off. And everyone went, and all of your heads went, because you looked over and saw it on the floor, and I went, what happened? I didn't know what happened. After the service, you know, I was real, real pious and humble. Lord, we thank you, God. Oh, Jesus' name. And I turned around. It was, and then I think a couple weeks later, I did the same thing. We need to rise and build. And the word build fell off. You know? And so we took that as a sign. I went, okay, Lord, what should we do now? He says, I don't want you to build. I don't want you to arise. I got a building over here for you if you just listen to me. Finally, we listened. I listened and listened too. Okay, anyways, he says, walk circumspect, have a view of what's around you. And I close here with Romans 13. He says, in that knowing the time, now is the high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. You're closer to death than when you got saved, right? That's what he's saying. Oh, yes, and the night is far spent, days at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day. Not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering, wantonness. That's partying and leisure. Not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So again, the question tonight is, are you truly walking in the light? I know I'm speaking to the saints tonight. I hope you are. 1 John 1:5, he says, this then is the message we've heard of him. Who's him? That's Jesus. John says, hey, let me tell you, can you imagine sitting under John's teaching and he tell you all about what he did with Jesus? Hey, let me tell you what Jesus told us. That's what he's saying. And we declare this unto you. And this is what Jesus told us. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, we walk in darkness. We lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Isn't that wonderful? So again, just talking about our walk tonight. He points out some things for us. He gives us some directives on what to do, what to abstain from, what to go forward. And again, we don't have to guess at what we're supposed to do tomorrow, per se, by way of decision-making, moral and spiritual decisions. We have the word, and we can follow that, and we can do just fine. Again, we'll be accepted to him, and it'll be pleasing to him, and that's the goal. We want to please the Lord, and I hope that's your goal and your prayer as well. So take this home with you. I hope you study it. Look up some of these verses, cross-reference some of these verses. I hope that'll help you, maybe in your Bible time and reading and whatever the case is. But appreciate all of you being here tonight once again. Thank you for listening. Remember these on our prayer list here, if you will, and let's continue to lift them up in prayer. All right. Lord, we do thank you for this evening. And I know I say it each week, Lord, I'm so thankful for these folks that come out and they listen. All of them I know are faithful in the Bible, faithful in prayer. And I pray you'd help us, Lord, because it's not easy to do. It is challenging in this dark world, and many of our people work around very ungodly people, and they try to do their best. I pray you'd help them and encourage them and empower them. Help us, Father, we go our way. Bring us back on Sunday, Lord, we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.